Cal Poly Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship is situated in the heart of downtown San Luis Obispo on Higuera Street. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Associate Professor Thomas Katona to discover the inside story about the under-the-radar incubator and accelerator center that offers both students and alumni with hands-on mentorship, weekly workshops, guest speakers, and much more. Thomas Katona. You're from the Biomedical Engineering Department?
Yeah, I actually have a joint appointment between our College of Engineering and Orfila College of Business.
What's your position here at the Innovation Center, and how did you come to be here?
So I'm the current academic director for the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And so the center is supported and run out of California Polytechnic State University. It's really a partnership between the university, the city, the county, our alumni. And so we work on regional economic development, work with student innovators and entrepreneurs. So my role really is connecting everything that's going on at our center with the academic mission of the university.
Would it be fair to call it an incubator, little nest for startup people?
We actually run a two-year incubator program out of this space. So that's one of multiple programs that are supported by the CIE.
And let's go back in time, kind of a philosophical lens looking at this organization. How did it come about and why? You know, who thought this was a good idea for a university to be engaged this way?
Yeah, so back in 2010, Jonathan York and Lou Tornatsky co-founded the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. It really was a strategic decision to take advantage of all of the innovation that was happening at the university and look for some means to both energize the campus and culture, but also find ways to help provide opportunities for those innovators if they want to try to take and get those innovations out into the market.
So on one level, it's say students, undergrad or grads that are in their little labs coming up with a cool idea and they need support and infrastructure. Would it also follow, let's say I lived in town or lived in Rio Grande and I'm a little nerd that's working on a project, but I need help. Could I come here too?
Yeah, one of the things that they did early on was make a decision to not just be a part of the campus. So we, you know, got a space that was out in the community, combined both the campus-related efforts with community efforts. And if you look at university entrepreneurship centers, really the two things that we did that are different than most of the centers is on the campus side, being an all-university-based center as opposed to only grounded in the College of Business. So anybody on campus can participate.
But so then, you have people from aeronautics or bioengineering.
Graphic design, psychology, ag engineering, you name it, they're coming in. So that's different than a lot of university entrepreneurship centers.
In what way does it differ?
Many of them are largely just in the College of Business.
Oh, interesting.
And then the other distinct thing was, as you mentioned, the community presence. So we have active co-working space for community members. We have a two-year incubator program for community members. And we run our small business development center out of this space, which is open to all community members.
How does the model pay-to-play work for somebody from the community? Do they have to pay a fee, a monthly?
Yeah, depends on the program. So the Small Business Development Center is federally supported. So that's open to anybody to apply at no cost. The incubator program is a two-year program that has a fee that changes over the 2 years. And really, that program is intended for people who are working on businesses that are scaling, likely going to need external capital. And so there's more support for that to try to help people achieve the milestones that would get them to the point where they can raise capital, grow their business. And then the community co-working is open to all sorts of people who use this as a remote workspace, a place where even some of the people have home offices and they like to be around other folks working throughout the week. And so they pay a monthly membership fee.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a prohibitive fee. It's very accessible.
Yeah, it's very, very accessible. Yeah, it's not prohibitive. And we even have people that will come in and just rent day space in addition to that.
Is there any infrastructure support for them? Somebody to type stuff up? Or?
No one to type stuff up. But I think, you know, one of the things that we found from people is a lot of the support is being around others that are in these related programs. So you meet other people that you get connected with, you network with. You know, that's something that working out of your dining room, you don't get.
Right.
And we've even seen the fact that we've mixed the student programs and the community programs together. You know, we have companies that students are working on something, it doesn't work out, they end up hiring the students because they see how hardworking and smart they are. We've had students who have ended up hiring community workers because their business is growing.
You have these people from the community co-workspace, whatever, hanging out here to be socialized a little bit. Do you guys ever do meetups? Get together and kind of random brainstorm sessions?
Yeah, we have different things that happen in here throughout the year that we have sometimes just co-working meetups or social events.
But they're random, might not be thematic thread.
No, yeah. We actually, just last week we had a Hot Wings challenge. And yeah, it was just, you know, a way to get people together and laugh and kind of spend some time together outside of staring into a screen or being on a Zoom call. So,
do you ever have kind of random epiphanous moments that happen here because of that social network?
I can't think of one right at this time. I mean, I know that being part of a working community is really a big reason why people come in here. Following up on one of your other questions, which I didn't address, you said, you know, help with typing, and that's right. That's not really not one of our things. But yeah. I will say that through the Small Business Development Program, the companies that apply and get into that program have access to free consulting services from a variety of professionals, you know, span the range of supply chain help to helping with marketing and go-to-market plans. So there is assistance that's provided through the SBDC members through that.
That's really cool. So there really is a greater good dynamic.
Yeah. And we have a large network of consultants. I think one of the things that we see that's, you know, unique about San Luis Obispo is for a small town, we have a fairly large number of experienced professional folks.
A little random again, but I'm curious about you, your life journey. You know, where did you go to school? What did you think you were going to do? And how did you wind up here?
I mean, if you go back in time, I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player, and that was kind of a joke. But yeah, I don't know. I did my undergrad degree down in Santa Barbara, studied physics at Westmont College, worked for a few years in the aerospace industry after that, and then went back to grad school at UC Santa Barbara.
For what purpose?
Electrical engineering. And my field of study was really optical-based semiconductors. So as I was wrapping that up, my wife and I moved out to South Carolina to a small startup company that was spinning out of a university there that was directly related to the work that I had done in my PhD. And that was kind of my first entree into the startup world. Mm-hmm. And so we were out there for a number of years building and growing that company. Ended up coming back to the Central Coast because my grad school advisor was actually starting a company and called me up and asked if I wanted to help out with that. So that's what brought us back here.
And then somehow you wound up at the university. How did that happen?
Yeah, a couple more startups after that. But yeah, it was really late one night. I was online and saw this unique job posting that was very different than other academic positions. That was, you know, joint across two colleges, working with student entrepreneurs, working on product design. And it really did just kind of fit with what I had been doing in my career. And I was interested in spending more of my time kind of working with people and developing people.
Do you work mostly with graduate level students?
You know, almost all undergrad.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Cal Poly's 80%+ undergrad, and yeah, the majority of my time is spent with the undergraduate students.
And you have regular formal classes, or?
I do. Yeah, multiple days a week and multiple times a day. So yeah, a number of different courses across both engineering and business.
Okay, segue. How did you wind up coming here and this being an adjunct part of your professorial duties?
It was always the intention that the role would be intimately connected with the CIE. And, you know, at the time that I was hired, what was happening is the entrepreneurship program, you know, under John York had been growing at the university. And there were a lot of engineering students participating, but there was nobody formally in the College of Engineering that was kind of there to connect those students to the programs. And so that was really the intention of the job, was bring those two colleges closer together, connect all of them together with the CIE, and make sure that we had a what looked like a cohesive effort.
Mm-hmm. In some of your day-to-day duties here, what would you focus on?
I spend most of my time in the summer down here in the downtown space, and right now we're running a summer accelerator program. So we have 8 teams of students working for 12 weeks out of the hothouse trying to get a scalable business off the ground. So I'm here every day kind of both bringing in experts to provide programming to them. I work with them on setting goals, milestones, and kind of moving their businesses along.
So are these dreamers where they don't quite know what they're going to evolve into or create?
Yeah, I would say they have a mission that they're working on. They have a solution that they envision. In many cases, that solution changes over time as they learn more about the market and the customer. But they're working on some pretty big ideas.
That's really cool. Looking back, can you think of some successes that have been nurtured here that you're impressed with?
Yeah, definitely. You know, out of the CIE, some of the kind of success stories that we can point to are InPress Technology, which became Alydia Health, was developing a device to help treat postpartum hemorrhage during pregnancy. And that company has since been acquired. We have still in town Flume Technology, which has a device which straps on your residential water meter, gives you real-time data on water usage. Utilities are, you know, subsidizing that device at this point because they need a way to keep track of water usage. Insurance companies are looking at it. So it's a, you know, it's a great company. We have Passion Footwear, which has developed a line of women's shoes that transition from a high heel to a flat, and they're doing really well. So those are just among a few.
And again, how long has this been up and running here?
So the center was founded in 2010. We've been in this current space since the summer of 2015. So it's grown a few times. We had a couple different locations. Like all good entrepreneurs, we've kind of been launching small prototypes and learning from it and growing, you know, based on the learnings.
And there's some expansion coming up, right? Or
there is, yeah. Our next goal, we're moving a few blocks from here to 1144 Choro Street, which is, you know, been an empty building for a number of years.
So you're going to leave this space here?
We will be, yeah. The space we're moving to used to be Copeland's Sports.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then before that, I think it was Riley's.
So you're taking over that main structure?
Yeah, there's going to be a big revitalization that happens to that building over the next year and a half.
The empire grows. Why? You know, what spurred you to seek a larger space?
I think, you know, some of it's opportunistic, some of it's strategic. As part of this move, we're going to be combining our facilities with the downtown Cal Poly stores. It'll be a larger co-branded and combined footprint for Cal Poly right in the central corridor. And I think it's a great time for Cal Poly to be actively involved and engaged in the local economic development community. So we're a large employer in town and we're a visible part of the community. And so,
but in a way, you're invisible.
Currently up here, we're invisible. Yeah. But
so that's going to change, right?
It will.
And how will you retool and make a presence known to people walking down the street and people locally? Is that part of the model?
Yeah, absolutely. Combining with the Cal Poly store obviously helps because it's a retail space that anybody walks in, you know, at all times. And so being co-located with it, people walk in, they're interested in Cal Poly, they'll see the space, you know, the door next door and say, what is that? It's the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship.
We have like a graphic displays of highlighting what you guys do.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of signage out there. We won't be invisible by any means.
That's really cool. As you know, I was back at Virginia Tech and with a cohort there. Do you guys interact and talk communally in the university world around the country in the little incubators?
We do. There are several conferences throughout the year that, you know, we've been active participants in, and that's a great place to meet others, learn from others.
It's a real value for you going there.
Absolutely. There's no sense in not learning from what other people are doing and both the good and the mistakes we're making and trying to get better.
It's hard for me looking in from the outside, you know, just kind of poking at this amorphous object. You're here, you're downtown, you're a local university, and how that benefits the community specifically.
We've touched on a little bit. I mean, one of the areas that being downtown really is purposely the university making sure that they're a visible partner with the community. Mm-hmm. So another thing that's been happening over the last 4 or 5 years is the regional economic development has been centralized under an organization called REACH, which spans from everywhere from down to Vandenberg up to just south of Monterey. As part of the new space downtown, there's going to be more intentional efforts for us to be connected with that organization. We've definitely been working with them in the past, but this really provides an opportunity for us to have a tighter connection, more cohesive economic development strategy.
That's really cool. In my mind, I keep, there's got to be some like, oh my God, things that have come out of here that we haven't talked about. Is there another one you can think of?
Yeah, definitely. So two more, I mean, that are really fantastic. One is a very recent company that's spun out of our program from last summer, actually. And they're doing radar-based battery detection in the waste stream. What they found is, and that project started in a classroom in a senior project on campus. And, you know, what they learned was lots of people are using more and more batteries and they just throw them in the trash. They end up causing massive fires back at the waste handling facilities. So they're able, with their technology, they strap onto a garbage truck, scan your trash bin, and they can tell the driver if there's a battery in there or not, and we know whether to take the trash or not, because battery is toxic waste. So they're already running pilots with two of the largest waste hauling companies in the U.S., and so that's an exciting one. Another one back from really the first year I started here, still a local company called Mantis Composites, and I hesitate to try to explain to you exactly what they do, but they're developing some deep, deep, hardcore materials, science, technology that's being used by the aerospace industry, and most people would never have heard of them. You don't see them, but a lot of times these companies in the aerospace, you know, in defense industries, you don't see them, but they're out there doing stuff.
Do you ever partner with aerospace organizations down in Santa Maria, Vandenberg area?
Yeah, as part of the kind of the work that REACH is doing, and then Karen Tillman, who's the interim executive director for the CIE, and she works directly in the president's office up at Cal Poly, kind of running his economic development strategy. She's pulling together those pieces, and you know, I think her being here is another definite intentional effort to more tightly connect the work that has been done over the last, you know, 10, 12 years at the CIE with the local economic development, with now the university's enhanced kind of presence in the economic development space.
That's so cool. And again, this is primarily undergraduates.
It is, and I think it's interesting. One thing that people should be aware of, and if they're, you know, get excited by the CIE, you know, on the student side, the companies are always fun to talk about. You know, that's great. We have a lot of fun when we see the success companies, but there's a whole host of students that we work with throughout the year, the vast majority that never start a company right out of college, because, you know, honestly, the odds are stacked against you when you start a company as a 22-year-old. Most entrepreneurs are a little bit older in life. But what we do see is you get calls every year from students who have gone through all of our other programs that are on campus. They take our classes. We have extracurricular programming throughout the year. And they'll call 4, 5, 6 years later and say, you know, I'm starting my company now. You know, I could use help. And I'm starting it because of what I did when I was at Cal Poly. So there's a whole host of things we haven't talked about on the educational side, extracurricular side, that impact close to 1,000 students a year that don't come into this building and start a company right away. But it changes who they are, and it changes kind of their career trajectory after their life here.
So when they come back and they reengage, is a lot of it remote and virtual? They don't physically come here?
It varies. You know, some of them are set up in life somewhere else, and they're starting their company there. We've had folks who have moved back to the area because they saw this as a great environment to start a company. It really does vary.
And do you have your garage and your little lab at home where you work on projects on the side?
I have some tools in my garage.
The dreamer at work.
I just want to thank you for taking time out and finding our little slice of the community interesting enough to come in and talk about. And it has been a lot of work over since 2010, slowly building and kind of pulling all the different pieces and threads together, both on the campus and in the community. And we're really excited about this next move over to the new building.
To learn more about your world here, where would you direct us?
Go to the website cie.calpoly.edu. That's where we kind of have most of our information on the programs we offer. I'm Thomas Katona. I go by Tom, associate professor in the College of Engineering up at Cal Poly and academic director for the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship.
Awesome, Tom. Thanks for sharing. This has been a great morning.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Luis Obispo.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
World Bicycle Relief partners with communities to deliver specially designed, locally assembled, rugged bicycles for people in need. Nearly 1 billion people in rural regions of the world live in communities far from the nearest paved road, walking miles every day just to survive. Distance is a barrier to attending school, receiving health care, delivering goods to market, and other critical services needed to thrive. Find out how you can help deliver rugged, dependable, life-changing bicycles to deserving communities. Log on to worldbicyclerelief.org to learn more.